You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. With more and more people being laid off or losing their jobs, paying bills is getting harder for a lot of Idahoans. And the biggest bill is usually your home mortgage. In the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, making that payment is literally impossible for so many people, leaving families on the brink of losing their homes. The federal government, though, is trying to help with new guidelines for Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae home loans, along with others. And we wanted to let our listeners know what kind of break you might be able to get on those mortgage payments. With us this morning is Chuck Crocht, Director of Loan Service at the Idaho Housing and Finance Association. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gemma. Good afternoon.
So I'd like to just start, if you could give us a quick definition of what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans are.
Sure, that'd be great. Both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are known as what's called a GSE, or a government-sponsored enterprise. And basically what that is they're federally backed or government-backed loans or guaranteed by the government that are made to the public.
So then what are Fannie and Freddie doing to help homeowners right now?
Both Fannie and Freddie were very quick to respond after the announcement of what's been going on with coronavirus and COVID-19. One of the things that they did is that they rolled out a special forbearance plan to any borrowers that were affected by COVID-19. And this can be due to either illness for them personally, or it can be due to unemployment or reduction in work hours. And they gave lenders and mortgage servicers like Idaho Housing specific instructions on how to roll those out, and also how that would affect credit reporting during the forbearance plan, and also late fees that would typically accrue if a payment's not made during the forbearance plan.
Okay, so you've used the word forbearance a couple of times. So for folks who might not be familiar with that, talk about what that actually is. I mean, what is it? How is it expand during the pandemic?
Sure. That is the number one question that we're getting from many of our customers. And this is probably going to be one of the more talked about terms is what is a forbearance plan? A forbearance plan typically in the past has only been used in events, maybe unemployment, maybe an isolated disaster like a hurricane, a flood, a wildfire. And basically what it is, it's a plan or an agreement when a lender or a mortgage servicer agrees to reduce or suspend payments for a set amount of time. If you think of it like hitting a pause button on your loan, what it's not is loan forgiveness. But the forbearance plan agreements provide short-term relief to assist borrowers who have experienced a hardship, as I mentioned previously, for example, unemployment, reduction in work hours, illness of the borrower, the co-borrower, or maybe even a dependent family member. And then during that forbearance, there are no negative credit reporting. There's no late fees. And what happens at the end of that is that there's an exchange, right? So the borrower has to resume making full payments at the end of the forbearance plan and make up any payments that were missed during the forbearance plan.
So then how does someone find out if they qualify for a forbearance plan?
The number one thing to do is to call your lender or your mortgage servicer and be proactive about this. I think the biggest thing that we're really stressing with customers is if there's any doubt in your mind that you'll be unable to make your payment due to COVID-19, whether it's job-related or illness-related, to reach out and contact your mortgage servicer to see what options are available to you.
We're talking with Chuck Crocht. He is the Director of Loan Servicing at the Idaho Housing and Finance Association. We're talking about federal help right now for certain homeowners. So Chuck, has the government suspended foreclosure and evictions for mortgages that are insured by the Federal Housing Administration?
Yes, they have. So the national foreclosure and eviction moratorium that was announced on March 18th is effective for loans made by the Federal Housing Administration and also those made by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And basically what this does is that any government-backed mortgage, there will not be any sort of foreclosure action started or any eviction proceedings that are completed within a 60-day period from March 18th.
So if you get a month or two off from paying your mortgage, and that'll come in if you are proactive and you call and find out, you mentioned that you will have to pay those payments back that you missed. But how does that work? Does it get tacked on to the end of the loan, or do you have to do a lump sum when you go back to paying?
That's a great question. There's a couple different options. Number one would be to pay it back in a lump sum. Ideally, if you were out of work, you probably don't have that money saved up. So the second option would be a repayment plan. So you resume making your normal monthly payments after hopefully your circumstances have improved, and then you add a certain amount to that to repay the forbeared amount over time. And then the third option would be a modification. And this is exactly what you talked about tacking those missed payments onto the back of the loan. But that, of course, involves amending the original terms to the loan and extending the loan period out several months, possibly.
Okay, so then what happens if your loan isn't a Fannie, a Freddie, or an FHA? What can those homeowners do if they're being affected right now by COVID-19?
Well, the CARES Act really only addressed those loans that are backed by the federal government. There are loans that are held by large banks or private investors, and I can't speak to those specific options that those customers might have, but I would encourage them to reach out to their lender or their mortgage servicing company.
So bottom line, Chuck, people need to reach out, as you said, to whomever holds the loan and see what they are eligible for.
Absolutely. That's, as I mentioned before, being proactive in reaching out. Many lenders and mortgage servicers have seen spikes in call volume. So if you're unable to get through on the phone lines, check their websites, email their customer support. I know many, many mortgage services are kind of moving to this more automated approach and having folks go to their website to obtain help there. But really just reach out and be proactive if there's any doubt in your mind that you'll be able to make your payment for that month.
Such good information right now. I mean, there's so much going on and things are moving so quickly. So thank you for explaining this, because I think it can be really overwhelming as well. So appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gemma.
We've been talking with Chuck Crocht. He is the Director of Loan Servicing at the Idaho Housing and Finance Association, talking about federal help for some homeowners. Up next, so what happens if you can't get a break from your lender, or if you're a renter and you just cannot make rent right now? We're going to talk about that next. This is Idaho Matters. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. So we just talked about how some homeowners can get breaks on their mortgages right now, but what if you don't fall into that category? And what about renters who can't work out a deal with their landlords? What happens then? Here's the scary fact. So many people who have never faced foreclosure or eviction may face it now. So joining us live to talk about how foreclosures and eviction works and what your rights are Josh Taylor, adjunct professor at Concordia University, Howard Beladoff with Idaho Legal Aid, and Ali Rabe, executive director of Jesse Tree. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So I'd like to start with foreclosure. So Howard, I'm going to give you this question. What happens if you cannot pay your mortgage and your lender will not give you a break?
Well, it depends upon who the lender is and what type of mortgage you have. 70% of the mortgages that are out there are federally backed, and that comes under the protections of the CARES Act. And that provides borrowers with many options. One, you can't foreclose for 60 days as of now. And you're entitled to a forbearance, which means either a delay in your payments up to 180 days, which can be extended up to another 180 days. So that is a real remedy for most borrowers, because hopefully this is a temporary situation and they will be able to work out some sort of repayment plan, especially when the other parts of the CARES Act arrive in the mail or in your bank account, hopefully. Now, if you don't have a federally backed mortgage, there are the banks are working with people. So it's very, very important to contact, both under the CARES Act and private lenders, the servicers, and tell them your situation, tell them that it's related to the virus, and see what options they can offer you. Many banks, as a result of the Great Recession in 2008-2009, are under federally enforced consent decrees, which require them to offer loan modifications and certain other relief and forbearances. So that is one option, but you have to contact these lenders in both circumstances. And it's just like what we've heard about unemployment benefits. There's a huge rush. They're not set up to do this, so you're going to have to keep at it and make a request for some sort of loss mitigation, is what they call it, whether that's a repayment plan over a set period of time, months, 6 to 12 months, forbearance plans, which allows you to forbear payments that then become possibly added on to the term of your mortgage. So you pay it, but you pay it over a more of extended period of time. You can do also loan modifications, which can permanently reduce your payments. And that can be done by many different ways. And Idaho statutes require that after a notice of default is issued, that you receive notice of your right to request a loan modification. That has to be within 30 days of the notice of default. And the lender has to contact you within 45 days and after you make the request, and talk to you about it, or approve it, deny it, or request additional information. They'll typically request additional information, wanting to know what your financial status is, what your situation is, whether it's temporary or permanent. And hopefully they will then work with you in some sort of arrangement. So if you have a good payment history, if you have a good work history, there shouldn't be a reason for the lenders to send you into foreclosure, because that really doesn't help them very much.
Right,
they may not recover all the full value of their loan. It's expensive, it takes at least 5 months, and that's when it ain't over after 5 months, just that it's sold, you know. So there's a lot of things. I mean, they could modify your loan, so extending the term out.
So bottom line, Howard,
things like that.
So bottom line is, you just honestly, it's back on you as the homeowner to call and see what can happen. But I want to bring Josh and Allie into the conversation, because Josh, you're part of the Landlord Tenant Housing Clinic at Concordia. And Allie, Jesse Tree, for people who don't know, works to prevent evictions and homelessness. So I want to talk about renters, though, because there does seem to be, from our last segment and what Howard just spoke about, there are many options for homeowners. But what happens if you cannot pay your rent and you cannot work out a deal with your landlord?
Well, Josh Taylor here. I guess, Allie, would you like to go first?
I can go first, since we're kind of on the front lines hearing from renters right now. But there are a lot of landlords that are willing to work with tenants right now. We haven't had too many cases where landlords are really unwilling to set up payment plans. It's just right along the lines with what Howard was talking about. It doesn't really make sense for landlords to evict folks right now. It is expensive. You know, there's probably not a ton of other tenants who would be able to move into a place right now, tenants are probably difficult to replace, and they're willing to set up payment plans with folks. So that's what we're encouraging tenants to do. Reach out, set up payment plans, communicate with your landlord, see what you can pay at least in part. And then, of course, there are some community resources out there. So Jesse Tree offers supportive services and rental assistance to folks. And then people with kids in the home can contact Health and Welfare Navigators at 211.
And then, Josh, what are the current laws in Idaho regarding eviction in particular, you know, for someone who's renting?
Well, none of the laws as a result of COVID-19 have changed at all. I think it's important to note that there are a lot of rumors out there floating around, and I think for some good reason, but about evictions being on a moratorium in the sense that you don't have to pay your rent, or that a landlord can't do anything to you ever. And that's not the case. Essentially, we just have a hold, and it's only for a few weeks, on cases proceeding inside the legal system. But as soon as April 16th, and very much so on May 1st, we'll be back up and running. And I think the phrase that, you know, in the law, the wheels of justice turn exceedingly slow, but grind exceedingly fine. You think about 1 month or a few weeks between when you normally would have your hearing and when you do have it, that's lightning in the legal system. So it's just lightning fast. Basically, the end result there is pay the rent. For people that can't pay, what we know is that they feel a lot of shame and they can go into shock about it and fail to reach out first to their landlord and second to other organizations like Jesse Tree. And so to the extent you're feeling that way, it's hopefully someone within the sound of my voice will feel sort of the courage or the strength to know there are people out there to support them and to reach out to their landlord or some type of agency. Because really, at the end of the day, the law in a courtroom only exists to solve the worst of problems. And so hopefully in this time, people are gonna be understanding. And I think that for the most part, that's what we're seeing.
And Josh, you made a good point saying that there's just some misinformation out there. Does some of it come from the fact that, like, let's take the city of Boise, for example, Mayor McLean put she did rent forgiveness for the month of April for city owned buildings. But there are a lot of people who rent that don't rent in a building that is owned by the city.
Right. There are a lot of people that rent in a commercial building. And that's a great question to bring up Mary McLean, because it leads to some very deep fundamental rights inside our system of justice and inside our line of thinking as Americans. So landlord and tenant law is governed the same whether you're a residential tenant or a commercial tenant. You use the same statutes to evict somebody. So if Mayor McLean says to restaurant owners and bars, hey, you have to shut down, and then they don't, basically that's a request to them that they don't make any money for that month. And at the end of the month, the rent comes due the next month. Well, we've asked them to sacrifice for us. So now they're looking at their landlord and saying, hey, we got asked to do this, not at our own request, at the mayor's request. So the question becomes, can we feel sympathy for them and ask the mayor to tell landlords, hey, you need to forgive the rent. We're all in this together. You're not going to get your rent for this month either. And then if you look at it on the residential side, you're talking about, hey, you were a waitress and you couldn't work and now you can't pay your rent. So can the mayor, can the governor of the state of Idaho order different people to lose money as a result of this? And how far can they go? Could they go potentially to the landlord's mortgage holder and say, you know what? We're going to forgive this. You can't charge these mortgage payments. Or
so Josh, do they have that kind of power? Does a mayor, does a governor, can, let's say, the governor just stop evictions and foreclosures during an emergency?
I think that the rule of law in terms of stopping them is to put a pause on things. Right now, we're not doing it out of the kindness of our hearts. I think that's important to note. when you say, can a governor, can a mayor put something on hold? The answer would be yes, under what our system of belief is right now. I'll come back to that in a second. And so if they can put it on hold for a month or two, how far can they go? Can they forgive the rent? Can they say, because of this emergency, we can tell you to do this? I mean, certainly we are in essence already telling restaurants and non-essential quote unquote services, you can't make any money. So can a governor do that? Can a mayor do that? Because we're starting with statutes. And then we have to turn around and face our constitution, which trumps, as you know, our statutes. And so the restaurant owners and other people in the community are going to say, you can't do that to us. You caused us to lose money. We have a right to due process, to earn money, to make a living. And if you want us to do that, there's going to have to be some due process. There'll have to be some compensation. You know, then we're also drilling down that COVID-19 has brought to the forefront something that many countries think about a lot, which is the rights of man or the rights of woman. And that would include in almost every declaration, the right to housing. So we have the right to security. We have a police force and safety. We have a Department of Health and Welfare and firefighters. And in many countries, they also have a Department of Housing, which falls under that same umbrella of what we believe in are the rights of human beings in our country. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I wanted to bring Ali into the conversation again really quick, because Ali, your phone calls for help have spiked dramatically at Jesse Tree. So what are you hearing from people, but also how are you trying to help them right now?
Yeah. And I think in large part, we are just providing them information and support and trying to explain the constant changing nature of this environment right now. And explaining, you know, how the government stimulus works, explaining how payment plan works, explaining how to file for unemployment, and also encouraging tenants to encourage their landlords and property management companies to apply for some of the small business loan forgiveness that's available right now. So just we're constantly staying updated with new resources as they come up and informing tenants. And as much as possible, we're encouraging tenants to reach out to the networks of support that they already have, because this really is going to take a community-wide effort. We're getting about 30 to 40 calls a day from tenants around the Treasure Valley who are unable to pay their rent because of job loss, because of some healthcare crises that have come up. We heard from someone on the phone the other day who was calling us as her husband was being taken to the hospital because he couldn't breathe. So we're hearing from all kinds of people that are having, you know, really serious issues going on because of COVID and its economic impacts. But all we can do is provide them with as much support as possible, encourage as many people to resolve the situation on their own. And those cases with the most urgent needs, we can provide with more intensive support and rent assistance.
So bottom line, though, it really seems to be falling on the homeowner, on the renter, to be proactive, as Howard mentioned in the very beginning of the interview. So Ali, getting back to what you said then, it's really hard for some people, though, to know where to get those services. So can they call an organization like yours to just figure out, you know, where, you know, how do I get from step A to step B all the way down to step Z?
Yes, they definitely can call our housing crisis line. We'll offer that support. They can also contact health and welfare. If they've got kids in the schools, I know social workers and school districts are rapidly responding to this as well. So they should reach out to the social workers in their schools.
I want to thank all of you for coming in today and talking about this. I think it is just such incredibly important information to get out for people. I mean, this is in so many ways unprecedented for so many people. So thank you for taking some time out of your day and talking to us. I appreciate the conversation with all three of you.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you, Gemma. Very true.
We have been talking with Josh Taylor. He's an adjunct professor at Concordia University, Howard Beladoff of Idaho Legal Aid, and Ali Rabe, executive director of Jesse Tree, talking about eviction and foreclosure during the COVID-19 pandemic. And if you need those services, how you can get them. And hopefully we've given you some information that you can use or give to someone else you know who needs it. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.